Save big money on your summer project at Menards. Transform your garage with rock-solid floor coatings. Complete your project with a showroom-quality finish in 1 weekend. A one-car kit covers up to 250 square feet. Get everything you need to complete your project with rock-solid floor coatings. Our knowledgeable team is ready to help bring your dreams to life, 1 gallon at a time. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
And welcome into the Wednesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. For homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in, visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And let's all take time together to welcome Joe Rex Road back to the great state of Tennessee. Joe Rex Road, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to finally be back. Let me tell you, 2 weeks in a row, man. 2 weeks in a row.
It's a long time.
Long time. A lot of miles. A lot of food.
No gout.
No gout. Not much beer, you know, not much beer.
How was the diet on the road? It's tricky, isn't it? Like road tripping and finding good stuff.
And well, and you know, there's places too. Like there's definitely in Indy, there's some awesome places you got to hit. You know, I didn't do the shrimp cocktail, did the steak. Shapiro's Deli, man, that Reuben, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, then you're like up late, and then you know you're gonna eat whatever the hell's in front of you. So
sure.
there's that too. So yeah, you know, might have put a couple pounds on here last couple weeks. That's okay.
Just because
in the routine.
You know, nobody would answer the phone calls in the Uber. If you'd played basketball, you'd have been fine.
Yeah, and that day I did go in the gym and do a real hard workout to replace it. But that's not like playing like 2 hours of basketball. 2 hours of basketball is like, man, that's some calorie burn, man.
Sure is. Ain't no doubt. Welcome back to town.
Thanks.
Welcome back to town. Ian, how are we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. Welcome back, Joe. Doing just fine, thanks. You know, nice weather out there, hanging out with the fam. Nice outside, doing some afternoon stuff, and watching some hockey a little bit last night. I made it through the first period. But, yep. Happy Wednesday, folks.
Yeah, we got a lot going on the show today. It's an enormous win for the Predators last night. We're going to get into that throughout the first hour today on the show. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com will be with us in the second half of the program, and we will get into all things Tennessee Titans with him, so looking forward to that. But that is where we start today. Preds, get it done. 5-0, the final score last night against the Anaheim Ducks. Joe, I said it heading into the game, that's a must-win for the Predators last night, and they delivered. And specifically, you know, obviously you score 5 goals. You're good with that offensive output pretty much every night. Onanen, awesome last night, particularly in the first half of the game. I mean, Anaheim, really throughout the game, they outshot them 43-25. So Anaheim brought it last night, and particularly early in the game, Onanen had to make some huge saves, some grade A chances that Anaheim had, and he came up, he made the save, and in a lot of cases, he didn't leave any rebounds. Like, he just swallowed the puck, and that's when, you know, I was talking with Stamkos about this a couple of weeks ago. He's like, that's when you kind of know your goalie is on, is when the puck is just hitting them and it just disappears. Like, there's no rebound going, and you know, he had to make a couple of saves on a rebound last night, but a lot of chances where I thought there could have been some rebounds that he just swallowed up, and just a big deal. That's a huge moment for your backup goalie to step into last night for a game that you just absolutely have to have, and he does it. And that's the first shutout they've gotten all year, a 43-save performance. I mean, I don't know that I can really oversell how good of a job he did last night. It was really good.
So, I mean, I hate to just come back and immediately get into hot takery, but like you know, do you consider maybe another start for him down the stretch here that maybe, like, traditionally you wouldn't have because Saros has enough rest to make these starts?
I'll put it to you this way. I wouldn't be afraid of it. I would not be afraid of another Eustace Onanen start. Now, you know, from a scheduling standpoint, I mean, it would make sense for Saros to get the rest of them. I mean, he's your top guy. There are no more back-to-backs. But, I mean, look, I said it heading into the game last night, and then he plays the best game he's played as a Predator last night. He's played well lately. Like, Onanen has played really well for you lately. And that last night was really, really good. So, yes, I would probably consider that at some point down the stretch here. I mean, look, it's more complicated than save percentage, so I think we need to remember that in this discussion. You know, sure. Save percentage is not meaningless. Like, it does mean something. But on the season now, he does have a .904 save percentage, and Saros is at .895. So something to keep in mind there.
Yeah. Well, and I think maybe, you know, to me it's like if there's a – and by the way, you know, I'm looking at Money Pocket, you know, GSAE, and Onanen is, you know, he's 1.6 above, and I'm actually looking for Saros. Saros is definitely below somewhere. Yeah, he's 9.2 below, 83rd in the league this year in goals saved above expected. So, like, if Saros struggles next time out, then I think you think about it the next game.
I think you think about it. Yeah. I mean, look, if you're Andrew Burnett, yeah, he just made 43 saves. So there is that, too. And now you've gotten Saros a couple of days of rest. By the way, it's just a – I don't even need to say they're big games anymore because we all understand that. But you got Utah coming up. So that's a game that's obviously very important. You know, the playoff odds, you actually technically, depending on where you look, but I'm looking at Money Puck, you jumped L.A. last night on the playoff odds. You're at 43.2%. They're at 43%. So, I mean, look, the 0.2%, you're dead even with L.A. when it comes to the playoff odds.
Point there. Up, and they have a game in hand.
Exactly. So, you know, if you can get – by the way, you know, if you beat Utah, you're 2 points back at Utah. Now, they got a game in hand on you, but you are 4 points back of Utah for wild card one right now, too. Now, the reward for that probably doesn't look as good as it was looking because Edmonton looks like they may go on and win the Pacific Division. So, I mean, you're probably at this point, if you're the Predators – taking on either Colorado or Edmonton in the first round. So you get either the Avalanche, who've been a wagon, or you get Connor McDavid and probably, I guess, Leon Draisaitl if he's coming back for the first round of the playoffs. So pick your poison on that one. But I'm just saying, like Utah, you're going head-to-head with them coming up tomorrow. And if you win that game, you're 2 points back of them. So another massive game on that front. Like, I'd be surprised after, you know, a 43-save performance if Saros didn't go – tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. I'd be shocked.
Onanen spilled it last night, and right. he was really, really good. But to your point, like, if it gets shaky with Saros in tomorrow's game, maybe on Saturday I'm looking and I'm saying, you know what? Throw him out there and throw Onanen out there and let's see what happens. Let's go.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they've got some goaltending controversy or anything, because when you have the contract that Saros has, he's going to be your starting goalie,
yep.
As we've talked about.
No doubt.
Onanen has played really well, and I just think that's a huge moment for your backup goaltender last night to come in and step up the way that he did.
Yeah, it's big time. It's big time. And, you know, on that, I would still, as much as it has not gone well at all for them against them, I'd still pick the Oilers over the Avs. You know, I mean, I still think there's more holes in the Oilers, right?
Yeah, with the Oilers, you can, you know, dump in a clearing attempt and it might go in the net.
Right. Yeah, so I still think that's worth and look, if when it boils down to it, I guess not that the Avs don't have stars, but I mean, hey, it'd be kind of cool, right, to have playoff games here with Connor McDavid?
Sure. You'd find way to tackle him or something. Yeah,
yeah,
it'd be cool.
Maybe that needs to happen.
Maybe so. Just lay the body on McDavid out there. Goals last night from Eric Halla. Philip Forsberg picks up his 38th of the year. Brady Shea with a shorthanded one last night, his third of the year. We mentioned yesterday, Joe, Zach LaRue needing to pick up the offense. Well, he scores last night, so LaRue scores, Svechkov scores. So, you know, it's 3-0 at that point. Then you get goals to kind of stamp it away from two of your young guys there, so good stuff on that front. But again, like, the Predators in some ways were kind of holding on a little bit early in that game. And then I thought from the Halla goal on, it started to flip. You get that first goal from Halla, and then just a few minutes later, Forsberg scores on the power play. And then, you know, that's when it kind of felt like the Predators were in control. Now, Onanen still had to make some big saves after that, but really before that, I was like, man, this is going to require like some superhuman effort from the goalie to win a game here. And then you end up at the end of the game looking at the score and it's 5-0. And maybe you look at it and say, well, the goalie's job wasn't that hard tonight. It's like, no, go watch the first part of that game. He had to make some big time saves in that game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, you know, you have 43 save night and the other team's carrying the play on the road. Huge game for both. Man, that's Predemption's been talking all year about the shutout. When will they ever get a shutout? I mean, this has to be the latest.
Game 78.
I mean, that's obviously the latest they've ever gotten their first shutout,
yes.
Right? Yeah. Do you know by how much?
I don't. I'm sure Johnny does.
Yeah. Let us know. That's and who knew it would be Big Juice who would get it.
Yeah. That's I mean, again, I don't know that I can oversell how good he was last night in the first part of that game. Like, he just looked really, really good and really, really in control. And now, as you said, you are 1 point up on the LA Kings. You are 3 points up on San Jose. You got San Jose's got two games in hand on you. So you're now, you got the night off tonight. You're looking around the rest of the league. And you have the Oilers and the Sharks tonight. So you'll be rooting for Edmonton tonight to take down San Jose, keep them at bay with those two games at hand there. You want to, from a San Jose perspective, like, you would love, as excited as I am about next Monday for, you know, Nashville-San Jose Part 3 here in the latter part of the season and how big that game could be. If you're the Predators, you'd love to be going into that game with like a 4-point lead on them where it's like, yeah, well, great. If we win the game, they're done. And if we lose it, we're still not totally screwed if they beat us in regulation. That'd be a nice situation if you're the Preds.
Yeah, yeah. That would be good. But also, you know, it's kind of fun to have these games that are like, that are basically playoff games.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's what it may be.
That's what it may be. By the way, the Oilers play San Jose tonight. And then I believe, is it Friday? Maybe Saturday. Yeah, Saturday they play the Kings. So going to be doing a lot of, if you're a Predators fan, pulling for Connor McDavid to just go nuts in the next couple of days.
I do wonder about Vegas.
Vegas
is
right
there. They're 4-0 with the coaching change with
Torts has come in.
Tortorella,
and
yeah.
He's lit a fire under there.
Vegas just firing their coaches at the end of the season.
Everybody ripped them.
I mean, we didn't even get your thoughts the other
day. Oh, yeah,
on,
your boy got
your
fired,
boy,
too.
Patty Waugh getting fired from the Islanders.
Yeah, it's real sad. I feel bad for him.
I thought you'd be
go away, man. Go away.
Man, what if the new GM comes in and is like, you know who I really love out there? Patrick Waugh.
God. I will find.
Will you move?
I will find every bit of audio from when we scored 7 on his ass in Game 7 in 2002, and make sure we play it daily.
God,
what a
can
glorious
you imagine,
day that was!
I mean, in an alternate reality, Ian, there could have been a scenario where the Titans could have hired Matt LaFleur this offseason, and the Preds at the end of this could have ended up hiring Patrick Waugh. What
Man,
would we have done as
that
a show? Have-
Just
content galore.
Just
bring
just
it on.
Can't possibly say anything nice about the local teams anymore.
No, it'd be it.
That's true. We might have a rant every segment.
It would have been totally over at that point. Massive win for the Predators last night. They win 5-0 in Anaheim. And at the moment, they are back in the second wild card spot. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Taking your thoughts on the Predators. They get a 5-0 win last night in Anaheim. They have moved back into a second wild card spot here with the win last night. And then they got Utah coming up tomorrow. So they are 4 points back at Utah, who's in wild card one right now. Utah does have the game in hand, but if you can beat them tomorrow in regulation, you'd be 2 points back at that point. So, you know, I was talking playoff odds. If the Predators win against Utah, you go from 43.2% to 61% if you can win it in regulation. So, again, I mean, every game it's going – I mean, it's either going up or it's cratering is basically what's happening. If you lose the game, it goes back down to 26.8. So that's what the percentages kind of look like right now. And again, like, you got L.A. right there. San Jose is right there. You're rooting for Edmonton hard this week if you're a Predators fan. And then you got San Jose coming up next Monday. So, you know, I mentioned yesterday L.A.'s schedule. They've got Vancouver twice. So, I mean, you really need the Canucks to sneak up and beat them once. Like, if the Canucks could sneak up and find a way to beat the Kings once, that would be a pretty large development. They play tomorrow, and then they play again on Tuesday. So tomorrow is in L.A., next Tuesday is in Vancouver.
So counting on the worst team in the league by an 18-point margin.
Yeah. I will say, Vancouver did hang 8 on Colorado last week.
Yeah. That's the thing. Weird stuff like that happens. I wouldn't be shocked at all if they get them one time. Worst team by 18-point margin. By the way, the next team after that is the Chicago Blackhawks, just for in case true. Anybody wondered.
That is true.
When are they going to stop sucking?
That's a good question. I don't know.
It's tough, man. It's tough. The Bulls suck.
You hate
White
to see
Sox
it.
Suck. God. It's really tough, Chicago. Feel bad for you.
By the way, last night Colorado won, so they officially have wrapped up the top seed in the West. So if you're – we've known it for a while, yeah. But it is now official. Like if you end up as the second wild card team, you will be playing Colorado. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, and you've got, you know, by the way, you know, the – no, that's not true. Canes are 106. I was going to say the Stars are still the second best team in the league, but that is not true anymore.
No, but they are, I think, the third. So, yeah. I mean, it's just amazing the way that is going to work out here.
And John Hines, and the, you know, Stars wild, man. That's going to be this format that we complain about a lot, which, you know, not great, but that will be that's a series.
Well, and I'll tell you, like, you know, not to look past the Utah game, because the Utah game is very important for the Preds, but, you know, coming off of a road trip against a very good team at home on Saturday, like you're playing Minnesota, you know, people have pointed this out, and I think it's fair to point out. And I would probably also include Anaheim in this group. But the Predators have done a really good job, you know, beating up on San Jose, collecting points against L.A. You know, we saw them against Montreal, didn't go well. We saw them against Tampa. Even though they played well in that game, you lose the game. And against your better teams in the league, can you find ways to get some points? Well, Minnesota is going to be a huge part of that on Saturday. Very good team, obviously. Going to be Dallas and Minnesota in the first round, probably for Minnesota having to go on the road, I think. We'll see what happens on that front. But if you're Minnesota, right now you're 2 points back of the Stars, and you need that game on Saturday against the Predators. So you're going to get whatever Minnesota's best is, you're probably going to get it on Saturday. And I am, from a litmus test standpoint, really interested to see how the Predators handle that coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's a really good team. With apparently a pretty good coach, I guess,
not
right?
So.
Coming in here. So, and yeah, obviously, you know, that's home ice there between those two, which matters.
It does. It does.
Doesn't always matter. But
probably doesn't matter as much
you
as
want.
We've kind of made it out.
It's something you want, though.
In the past, but it is something that you want, right? Like, if you've, it's always about like the game seven, right? Like, if you have to go to a game seven, you'd like for that to be at home, right? That's kind of what it boils down to. So,
you would. The Preds didn't help the Preds in 2018, but yes,
it did not.
Yeah. Sorry to bring that up.
That one was over with pretty quickly. Forsberg, like I said earlier, gets goal number 38 last night. So he is at 38. Stamkos is at 39. My guess is they're both going to end up at 40 at the end of the year, which, as you talked about earlier this week, I mean, they're definitely probably going to need to. But, I mean, that's happened one other time in franchise history where you've had – 240 goal scorers. I mean, forever, up until Duchesne and Forsberg both did it a couple of years ago. I mean, we were throwing the question out of, good Lord, are the Predators ever going to have a 40-goal scorer? And now you're about to have potentially another year where you've got two in the same season. So I guess, you know, maybe they're never going to get a season where it's just one. You just do two or none.
Yeah, two or none. That is interesting. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, Forsberg is – I think he's technically on one of his heaters now, right? I don't know what it is like the number in the last few games, but you're kind of counting on a goal from him, you know, just about every night at this point. And when he goes through those stretches, that can carry this team that has many times.
Well, he's got 8 points in his last 5 games. I think if you pull it up longer than that, and I'll have to pull up the actual numbers and do some counting here, which I may do over the break, but. He's got, you know, he's on a tear right now. He's playing really well. And by the way, I say he's got 8 points in his last 5 games. He's also got 5 goals in his last 5 games. So the goals are coming in bunches for him right now. It's a big shot by him on the power play last night. And look, the power play has picked back up a little bit. They went through a 4-game stretch, you know, through the Devils, the Canadiens, the Lightning, where they had some chances on the power play that they didn't come through on. and that ended up costing them. Well, the power play started to pick back up. Even when they haven't scored lately, I think they've looked pretty good on it, but they're also starting to score again on the power play. I mean, look, I mean, I guess it was it Monday's game where O'Reilly just laid one out there for Stamkos, and he just destroyed it. Like, it was vintage Stamkos. So you got the one-timer going again in the circle for Stamkos, and then last night Forsberg just rips one on the power play. So good to see the power play being a weapon for the Nashville Predators down the stretch.
And Josi, you know, is kind of piling up the assists lately too.
Yep.
So, which is – oh, sorry. There's my computer making noise.
Sound like a National Geographic little thing going on there.
I think that is what it is.
Hey, there we go. The gazelle. Oh, boy. Preds win last night 5-0. They're back in a wild card spot. We'll take your thoughts on that. Plus, the Predators announced a new television deal yesterday, which I think is a very, very good thing. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game is teamed up with Pella Windows and the Nashville Humane Association for a puppy pet adoption coming up this Friday at Pella at 256 East Main Street in Hendersonville from 4 to 6. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Preds win last night 5-0 against the Anaheim Ducks, and they are back in a playoff spot this morning. Let's head back to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, Robbie, man. Hey, yeah, I'm not conditioned for this late night stuff, though, man. Like,
me either.
My sleep schedule's been jacked up. Yeah, so I don't know if y'all have covered it, but that backup goalie needs to start more, man. Like, that's the main takeaway, because that was a pretty good team we played last night. I was worried about that game, and he just blistered him, man. He didn't let anything, you know, past him. So I don't know. Maybe we're riding a high, like a dopamine high when he gets in there. But whatever it is, if we learned anything a few years ago when all of our veterans were hurt and we played the kids all the way to the playoffs, is that you ride what got you there. And Onanen's part of this. So I don't know. I would almost be every other night with him right now, man. That's just me.
Well, thanks for the call, Adam. I mean, it's, as I said earlier, I wouldn't be afraid of it down the stretch. Like, Saros is probably getting tomorrow against Utah. And then you got three games at home after that. Like, if you feel like you need to give Onanen one of those games based on the way that he's played, and it's not just, you know, it's not just last night's game. Last night's game was the exclamation of the way that he's played. But, I mean, he made 39 saves against Vegas, right, and a few starts ago. He made, let's see here, 25 saves the start before that against Seattle. With, you know, in those two games, he had a 962 save percentage and 975 save percentage, respectively. Like, even the Jersey game, he gave up three in that game. But, like, I thought he played pretty well in that Jersey game. Like, for the most part, since about December, he's played pretty well when he's gotten his opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, he's of their backup goalie situations. They've had some good, you know, seasons in there and there, but I mean, I'd say he's probably as reliable right now here in this recent stretch as anybody they've had behind Saros.
Recently, for sure. And I didn't think it was going to be that way. Like, when they first brought him over from Colorado, it really didn't go all that well, and his numbers to start this year were terrible. I just had
everything
terrible
was
numbers
bad early
to start this year, and to your point, I mean, it wasn't just him. Like, it was bad early on, but it seems like he's figured some things out. And look, I mean, you look at him; he's 6'4". He's 6'4", 210 pounds, and he's kind of that prototypical size that we see from goalies now in today's NHL. So, I mean, look, I remember when they gave him Trotz gave him a contract extension this year, and the reaction to that was, really? Like, you're giving an extension to Eustace Onanen? Well, right now, it looks like a pretty good move, right? Like, he's playing well right now.
There's some Trotz moves that are looking better now.
Yeah, they are. They are.
When do we get back to Trotz? Are you sure?
Is he going to retire?
You sure you don't want to come back?
I mean, until they hire somebody, the door's open. Let's head back to our phone line. Welcome in Brian to the program. Brian, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, boys. First of all, I don't know why we're spending so much time talking about the Preds this morning when Michigan just won the national championship 2 days ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Go Blue, baby. Go Blue.
I went streaking in the quad yesterday, so I didn't get to call you guys and celebrate. But no, just kidding, man. Really wanted to talk about the Preds. I know you're gonna you guys are gonna talk about the deal they made. Now that's a big city move. I mean, I think you're gonna really expand the growth of this fan base. I know most people already are a hockey fan, you are watching the Preds, but I think that move is really going to be big, but I'll let y'all kind of put that out there. But, man, being a Preds fan really epitomizes what it means to be a fan, short for fanatics. Because if you look at this team over the last week and a half, it really has taken you through the ringer. They lose a couple in a row, you say, oh, well, the season's over with. Then they go out and score 6 the other night. You say, oh, well, they got a chance. And then they lose to the Kings in a shootout. And then last night they blow out and shut out Anaheim. And you're thinking, like, well, maybe this team really is good. You realize that the teams they're playing are not necessarily that good. But you see games like that last night, and you say, you know, if this team gets in, you don't know, honestly, what they can do once they get there. And so for the fans that don't want to make the playoffs, I understand the rationale, but I really don't. I mean, playoff hockey is playoff hockey. You never know what's going to happen. You look at the St. Louis team that won the Cup a few years back. Nobody expected them to do anything. So I think if the Preds get in, I think you just take what you can get. And if they advance, man, that would be a great thing for the city. But that's all I got, fellas. Y'all be good.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it. Well, here's the other thing that we've probably not talked enough about on his last point there. Let's say they get through this whole thing, Joe, and they get in. Well, that would require them to have played really well down the stretch, right? Like, I mean, they're on this road trip right now, and they've picked up 7 of a possible 8 points, and they're going to close it out. Utah, we'll see what happens on that front. But they're playing well on this road trip. They're going to have to continue to play well and win games if they're going to get in the playoffs. So let's say they do get in. Well, if they get in, my guess is you're going to look back at the schedule and be like, wow, the Predators won 8 of 10 to get in the playoffs. Or, wow, the Predators won, you know, whatever it is. Like their record heading into playoffs over their last 10, 12 games, if they're going to get in, is going to have to be really good. Like, it's just what it is. So we talk all the time about, hey, you want to be playing well and trending up heading into the playoffs, right? Well, if they're going to get in, they will be. They will be playing well and trending up. Now, I've seen every different example there is in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I've seen teams that were hot that head into the playoffs and just absolutely can't do anything. I've seen teams that were hot that stay hot all the way through and win the championship. I've seen teams that have sucked for 2.5 months that have been such a big lead that get into the playoffs and then all of a sudden they turn it on. So there's no formula that's just foolproof heading into the playoffs. But if you ask me to choose one, I would say – yeah, let's be playing pretty well and feeling good about our game heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as I recall, the Preds 9 years ago weren't playing great, and they were trying to not be the 8th seed, you know, the second wild card, and they failed. And then, you know, there was very little, you know, momentum or thought that they might do anything. You know, we know what happened. So it is. It gets old when you're talking big picture about a team. This has happened a lot with this team, which is the whole just get in. It's like, no, just getting in because anything can happen, that's not a strategy, that's not good enough. But when you're in this situation, well, it's either you get in or you don't. Yep. And these guys, as we talk about, you know, they are older right now. You got your two, you know, your veteran goal scorers are both scoring goals, and you know, you know that they want another crack at it and feel like, you know, the way they're playing right now, that they could cause trouble for somebody. It'd be interesting to see if they could.
Well, and Brian brought up the TV deal there. This was announced yesterday. You know, if you've been paying attention to the TV stuff with the Preds, you know, FanDuel, which is where they're on right now, is going under. So that, you know, at the end of this season, that was going to be it for that partnership. The Predators announced yesterday that they and Scripps Sports have created a multi-year media rights deal that will bring free over-the-air access to the Predators, to fans across Middle Tennessee, beginning next year. So, you know, Channel 5 who Scripps owns, Channel 5, they've got this other channel that I guess is going to be launching. That's called The Spot, Nashville 28. And you're going to have games on that for this multi-year deal. And they also announced in this press release yesterday, Joe, that in addition to the local TV broadcast, which is a big deal, that a direct-to-consumer experience where fans can live stream the games throughout local broadcast territory is going to be available as well. And that the streaming part of this, they'll have more details on that soon as they head into the, I guess, the offseason here. So, I mean, to me, you know, the FanDuel part of this, it's become so difficult to, you know, watch games around here because of, like, you either got to go download this FanDuel app and pay the monthly fee, or, you know, people are cutting the cord all over the place. There's all these different things going on. And we've seen teams like Vegas around the league, and Dallas has done it too, where they're basically just broadcasting their own games and they're just doing it through that way. And I wondered what the Predators would do. Well, to me, like, if you're the Predators, if you're any of these NHL teams, you know, the most important thing is your fans have to be able to watch you, right? Like, yeah. So if you're going to continue to grow your fan base and you're going to get kids involved, yeah, it's great if they can go to the game and see it, but not everybody can do that. Like, not everybody can go to these games. So the more people that are able to actually access your product long term, the better off that's going to be. I think this is a really good thing for the Predators.
No, I'm really happy to see this, as much access as possible as you can give people. And it seems like they're going to do some cool stuff with it too, you know, on this new channel. So, it's a great thing for people to be able to stream it. So that's, I assume, then you have to be in the area then?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you got to give people access to your product. You have to. And obviously, you know, hockey and I think baseball in particular have, you know, had issues, you know, yeah, in the recent years. This is a very good development for the Preds and Preds fans.
Well, and I have seen, like, the Scripps has owned some of these broadcasts around the league too, like Tampa, the Scripps does theirs, Vegas I mentioned. So it's like, you know, the team's running it. But, like, I it's been really good. Like, Vegas's broadcast is really good. I actually watched Tampa's broadcast last week just to see what it looked like because I knew this may be coming. When they played the Lightning down there, the Lightning's broadcast is really good. So, like, if you're worried about, like, quality of it, I think it's probably going to be better. Like, based on what I've seen, quality's pretty good from this.
The app needs to work.
That would be step one.
We know about app issues. That would be important.
Yeah, now that it's going away, can we all just, like, the FanDuel app sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's terrible.
It's awful. So this is, to me, a really good development if you're a Predators fan out there that has been trying to figure out a consistent way to watch these games. Like, and I know, like, specifically these games that we're talking about are starting at 9 o'clock and 9:30 at night, but just in general, watching games down, you know, starting next year should be way easier for you. So that is a good thing.
Yes, that's good business.
Yep. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on our text line. We will do that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025 The Game. Tee it up with us at the 5th annual 615 Open coming up May the 28th at Hermitage Golf Course. We are supporting Folds of Honor to help them fund life-changing scholarships for families of America's fallen heroes. Register now to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. One texter says, everyone not wanting the Predators to make the playoffs because of a better pick in their record. Look at Boston a few years ago. Wins the President's Trophy, goes in, and then craps the bed in the playoffs. That did happen. We have seen that happen multiple times with top seeds that have gone in. Now, look, we've also seen top seeds go on good runs and in some cases win Stanley Cups. So I wouldn't be scared off of a top seed if you're one of these teams out there. But, yes, like, assuming that Colorado is just going to plant their flag and they're just going to be there in the Stanley Cup final this year, I don't think I would make that assumption. Like, you know, I will pick them to beat the Predators if they're playing the Predators. I will pick them to beat the Kings if they're playing the Kings. And then, by the way, if you're Colorado, if you win that series, you're taking on the winner of Dallas and Minnesota right after that. So, I mean, that's when it gets difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes, I mean, crazy things do happen. It's... you know, the unpredictability of this tournament, it's probably, you know, I think the data would tell you that that hockey and baseball are probably less chalky over time, right? Than the NBA, but also than football too.
Probably so. Cam says, at this point, just get in. The draft is ruined, so make it worth it. This team, to me, oddly has similarities to the 2017 team. Kinda. I mean, like, from the way that, I mean, there are some, I guess, if they get in, they're probably going to be the second wild card team, and then they're going to be taking on a good, by the way, a better team than that Chicago team was in Colorado. But, you know, there are some similarities. Like, from the way the team is built, they're pretty different. Like, the Predators that year, and I've said this before, in 2017, but there were people before the season picking them to win the Stanley Cup that year. Like, the Predators were pretty clearly building something. They traded for Johansson the year before. They traded for Subban that offseason, and they were, I'm not going to say like a prevalent pick, but there were people picking them to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, they had the best decor in the league. They had a goalie with a massively high ceiling, with Vezina, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
adjacent goalie. I mean, there's differences.
Oh, and you saw, like, you know, early in that playoff run, Johansson played like a legitimate number one center. Like, yep. He dominated Jonathan Toews in that series. And then, you know, the best top four in the league on defense and carried him. Josi and Ellis were together. And then, like, you know, Ekholm, Subban were just dynamite together in that playoff run. So
all the tough matchups.
This team doesn't have that. Like, this team does not have a defense anywhere in the same vicinity of that top four. Now, they do have something that team did not have, which is 240 goal scorers. That's about to happen. So they're different in the way that they're built, and it's a different game too.
They both have Forsberg and Josi on the ice.
They do.
So you got that.
Saros too. Saros was the backup for all that.
Yeah.
He waved. I think he got in the Stanley Cup final a couple times.
Yeah, Pekka got pulled once or twice, right? Yeah.
So there. I think those are the only three left, right? Forsberg, Saros.
Yep.
Josi. I think that's it.
Sisson's gone.
Yep. That's it.
So, yeah, not really that similar. But, I mean, you know, this team, I mean, there's enough on this team, you know, that if you got tremendous goaltending, and again, like, that's like, can Saros get, like, on an absolute heater?
Well,
that's probably, you know, I don't see any sort of, like, long stay longer than like 5 games, unless that happens.
Yeah, if you're gonna beat Colorado in the first round, that's what it's gonna take, right? Like, he's gonna have to steal you a couple of games, and you're gonna have to keep scoring timely goals. You know, and people have pointed this out; they're not wrong. They have beaten Colorado this year a couple of times. I mean, they have beaten Colorado. Now, I would say this: there is a difference between, you know, some regular season wins in February or some regular season wins in January, and then the pressure being turned up and the playoffs coming around. Like, my guess is, you know, game one in Colorado, Colorado's been waiting for this for like 4 months at this point. They've known kind of where they're going to be. Makar will be back by then. Like, it's going to be an absolute – it's going to be a buzzsaw that you're running into, and you're going to have to find a way to handle that. Like, it's – in some ways, I'll say this. They had no chance a few years ago. Number one, the 2022 Colorado team was, I think, better than this one. That team was ridiculous. And then the Predators, combined with all that, lost their goalie heading into it. They had no chance in that series. I think this team has a better chance than that one does. And I would not pick Colorado to sweep them. I probably would pick Colorado to win in maybe 6, maybe 5.
Yeah. Yeah, look, there's a big difference between the teams on paper, but the pressure aspect of this is also, you know, it's and you know, sometimes what you say, it's like what you just said there, you know, they've known and they have. So, I mean, so, you know, sometimes teams can get in their own head too. Plus, you know, yeah, obviously you add Kale McCarr, it's a gigantic difference. But sometimes, you know, it takes a little bit of time when you get some moving parts and things like that. I mean, I'm just coming up with, you know, random thing. Well, but the pressure part of it's real for a team like Colorado.
Well, and you talk about pressure, like, there'd be none of it on the Predators heading into that series. Like, right. Number one, you'd be a lot of the talk around the league would be, hey, man, like, what a story. They were the worst team in the league on December the 1st, and they clawed their way back and got into a playoff series. So That's great. And then you go out there and you just, like, at that point, you just let it fly if you're the Predators and then let the chips fall where they may. Like, they're not as talented as Colorado. I don't know what they do with, you know, that McKinnon and, you know, just, you know, they got Kadri back now and, you know, Makar is there. Like, so there's a lot there for Colorado that you're feeling pretty good about. But the idea that it's going to be like you show up and it's just a total waste of time, I don't discount the idea that the Predators can give them a little bit of a fight in that series.
Yeah, and hockey's, you know, hockey's weird. You get you get just the right, you know, little deflection here or there. You get the strange bounce, and again, like, not, and you have to have, you're going to have your goalie,
yes,
just steal some stuff.
And you're going to have your forwards, no, like your veteran forwards. Like, Stamkos has had some big-time moments in the playoffs in his career. O'Reilly, obviously, has had some big-time moments in the playoffs. Marchessault has won a Conn Smythe trophy, right? Like, you need some guys who have performed in playoff, high-pressure situations before to do it again, right? Like, they're capable of doing it, and you need them to do it. And by the way, like, this is not to say, and Stamkos talked about this the other day, like, you know, people have talked about, well, the games they're playing right now are about as high-pressure as it gets. And even Stamkos the other day was like, well, I mean, they're high pressure. They're not playoff games. Like, it's not the same. Like, it's just a different thing. Stamkos is producing right now. O'Reilly's producing right now. Yossi has stepped it up. He's producing right now. Obviously, we've talked about Forsberg. So, you know, when the moment gets bigger, you have guys on your roster who in their career have demonstrated the ability to rise up to that moment, which we probably don't talk about enough with those guys because of how it feels like since they've signed all these guys, it's been, you know, it has been. It's underachieved, right?
Yeah.
But you signed them ultimately to get to the playoffs and get to this point and see if they can perform. And we hadn't had the chance to see that yet, so we'll see if they can get there. But if they do, like, Stephen Stamkos played a whole lot of playoff games. Ryan O'Reilly's played a whole lot of playoff games. Like, these guys are – and the moment ain't going to be too big for them, I guess is what I'm saying.
No. It won't be too big for him, and yeah, the way Stamkos is playing, like, he's a weapon. He's a weapon in the playoffs. So no, it's almost 2 years of waiting to see if it would pay off.
Yeah.
So,
Craig,
we may and we may not.
Craig says Colorado hasn't played a meaningful game since Christmas. I see that as the only saving grace. Maybe you can take the first game and make it interesting after that. There is something to that. Like, you know, when you haven't played a high-stakes game in a long time, and then you step into a playoff series, sometimes we see teams struggle to adjust to that out of the gate. So we'll see. Got to get there first. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will get into the NFL draft coming up next. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com will be with us in the second half of the program. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.